and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance 471. I'm Nicole Shiro, and I am flying solo today. We're joined on the board by the remarkably talented Tracy Schultz. He's back for some more offstage fun. You're listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby and KOOP.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it is theater, it's on offstage and on the air.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
My name is Regina Joy.
Today is Wednesday, June 27th, 2018. And on the show today, we have City Theater with Ruthless the Musical. And they're going to give us some live performances. Of course, we'll have lively discussions, including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, and beyond. So stay tuned.
School humps my leg like a chihuahua.
Do you know what that is?
She said chihuahua.
She did say chihuahua. Can you guess what musical that is?
No. I don't think I've heard of a musical about a chihuahua.
It's not about a chihuahua. It's about... That was Regina George from The Plastics. It's Mean Girl the Musical.
Oh.
I just can't get enough of Regina George and her big deal, and she makes me happy. And I know we've talked about it a whole bunch and played it a lot, but I played it again because it was good. Yeah, everybody's smiling and laughing, but you can all talk, people.
It was
quite
a
radio
performance on the Tonys. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
It was fun, right?
I actually missed that. It's like, so I'm glad to hear that someone saw that. It's like, I'm glad you liked it.
So it was really cool. Let's introduce, we have Tracy Schultz here today. Tracy's co-hosting with me. Lisa Sheps is in Chicago. Nick is crazy, still stuck in a meeting. And it's Tracy and Nicole.
Tracy and Nicole, woo!
Woo! We should come up with a theme song like Nick Squared and all that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and we're also sharing a mic, so we get to be in close proximity right
now. We are. We're like, hello. Hello. But I'm going to introduce the other folks here in the studio with us because they're going to join in on the conversation. And they are the guests today. We have Austin Kimball.
Thanks
Good
for
day,
having us.
Austin. Jessica Cohen. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello. It's radio. You have to talk so they know you're here. Susan Johnson Taylor.
Hi.
Hello. And Michelle, is it Malia?
Malia.
Malia. Hi. I went back and forth and I meant to ask you and I'm sorry I did not. So welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So there's a lot of news and a lot of stuff going on. So I'm going to hop to some of it right here. We had two openings this week, both plays. I'm grabbing my papers because I realized I put them over in my other spot. I'm not normally on this mic. We needed a sound effect there. I didn't have
shuffle,
one.
Shuffle,
shuffle, shuffle. So the first review is for a play called Skin Tight, starring one Idina Menzel. So, yeah, and it actually... She got rave reviews. Of course, I lost it and put it at the top here, so I'll find it as I'm talking. She got a really rave review, and I felt bad at first because the beginning of the review, Jesse Green in the Times, he kind of just went on and on about her singing, and I was like, give the girl a break, man. It's a straight play, like, and he just went on and on and on. But then he had some wonderful things to say about how she musically took the words musically and created her own magic and song with this performance in this show, which I found really interesting. And I can't believe I lost that darn paper. Maybe
paper.
I can magically make it appear. Dun, 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 dun. It was the one paper on the other. But she went on. It's about this woman. She comes home. She has her father is older. She's making fun of her father for his younger wife. I don't know if she's wife or girlfriend. It's very, very, there's cold fish. She said these people are not so great people at times. Her son is a 20-year-old queer studies major. There's a crazy group, but he said, but something's off and it's not the cast. In a first prominent non-singing stage role, Miss Menzel nails Jody about as perfectly landing every joke as if on a musical button. Totally, hey, I'd like that one. Her heart makes sense of the character's contradictions and is beautifully foiled by Mr. Weatherthal's lizard song, Freud, which I thought was a really funny way to explain some Freudian stuff. But he went on about everyone, and then interestingly enough, it took this weird turn. So then I got, tell me what you guys think of this. So at any random 15-minute stretch spent watching Skin Tight is likely to prove rewarding. You'll laugh, you'll ogle, you'll tut. And I'm like, wait a minute, that was good, but did he just say random 15 minutes?
Right.
Does it, was that nice? Was that not?
I can't tell.
Was it only 15 minutes are good?
It's like a backhanded compliment.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then he goes on and says, the characters in Skin Tight don't have agendas, they have annoyances. I was like, oh, which I kind of sometimes like with characters. But then it goes on and says, Skin Tight stops well short of exploring, let alone indicting its characters vapidly and historical amnesia. Rather, it seems to accept an anonymity as a shruggable fact of life. And then he goes on and saying, oh, well, this one character says, it's been raining here. And he said, it's funny, but it's also apt. Because Skin Tight as an it's been raining here kind of play. Huh. Which I'm like, again. And perhaps it's just the wrong season for anything more ambitious. In any case, you know it's an overcooled room, even if Idina Menzel can't heat it up. So yeah, I know, right? Everybody's eyes just went out of their head like, what? Huh? Yeah, what?
It sounds like, it doesn't sound like it's an endorsement. It sounds like he just kind of like thought it was just there.
But it's so nice in the beginning. I don't know. I don't know if all of a sudden he thought of a moment and it took him. I don't know. I'm fascinated. Good for her. It's running for a bit. I was about to say, I think this one is a limited run if I remember correctly. Oh, no, it doesn't. Oh, yes, closing, August 26th. It was a summer run. Will Britton, Stephen Corsacco, Eli Gelb, Cynthia Mace, and Jack Weatherall are in the cast. So, interesting. The other show did not really get good reviews, which I was kind of, or Jesse Green really did not give it, the same gentleman. The other review is the play, and we talked a little bit about it, I think like 2 weeks ago, Log Cabin, starring Jesse Taylor Ferguson, who everyone might know from Modern Family.
Yeah.
But he's been doing a lot on stage again lately, and I first fell in love with him in Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Yeah, he'd stand out on that. That was a big deal.
Yeah, he kind of rocks. He's funny. So it's a new play that Pulitzer Prize finalist Jordan Harrison wrote about a tight group knit of gays and lesbians and considers the new mainstream through the eyes of their transgender friends. He didn't say it was very nice. He didn't say it was a good future for gay plays. He thought it touched on a lot of hot button topics that should be touched on, but he didn't like the characters. He had a problem with the writing. He had a problem with the characters' trait. I'm like, well, you had a lot of problems. It was like, it was a list of who he did not like that they are wrestling over who's going to win the biggest prize for suffering or the greatest injustice. That's really what got him mad.
But there's those conversations that are happening right now in the community. So is this like a reflection on the play, or is it a reflection on the things that we're talking about right now?
I say, hey, I'm all about starting a conversation. So good, bad, ugly. I don't know. He kept also going back to Marjorie Prime, another play that he won a Pulitzer for. And he just kept going back and saying, well, it's not like this, and it's not like this. And unlike Marjorie Prime, I mean, he kept writing it again. He says it seems a little shapeless. Offering tough medicine, perhaps, but nothing to store in it. It dribbles away.
Yay.
And such. There's little the actors can do to contour their performances. They're left to hone line readings, which are always a sitcom accurate. I mean, he just really went on. It made me sad because it seems interesting. It's only running till July 15th. It's a short run, hour and a half. Cast is Philip James Brannan, Cindy Chung, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Ian Harvey, Tulane Monahan, and Dolly Wells. Dolly Wells is a great name. Dolly Wells is a really great name.
Yeah, two great country artists, like,
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton and Wells is like the songwriter.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, just like there's two Willies in life, Willie Nelson and Willie Shakespeare, we'll make two Dollies. Yeah. Dolly Parton and Dolly Wells. Dolly's listening right now. She's so excited. Woo! So this was kind of cool. Lisa stuck this on some of the clips that she was talking about. So American Ferrera is collaborating with Lin-Manuel Miranda. Do you guys know who that is?
Yes.
Hamilton. I was being a smarty pants. I was like, I think we all know who he is. Michelle Kwan and some other folks, Cal Penn, Joaquin Castro, Jenny Zhang, Roxane Gay, and they're doing an anthology about navigating between cultures. So it's an anthology of cultural identity-themed essays. And everybody is writing and putting together this entire group and putting stuff in here. American Ferrera is going to edit all the essays, and they'll be released on September 25th. So all the essays and, well, a portion of the proceeds are going to go to the nonprofit immigrants called We Get the Job Done Coalition. They help provide legal support for immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers. So I found it interesting. It's an interesting group of people. I mean, Michelle Kwan's an Olympic skater.
Yeah.
Like, right. Not the Broadway girl. And then I just a really cool, very diverse group of folk.
And Joaquin Castro, folks may know as a San Antonio politician. So he's a guy that's out there. It's like on a national stage as well. So it's kind of interesting to see the blending of the different folks. So it's like from their different backgrounds.
It's a lot of fun. So that comes out. And of course, they didn't have a website. I guess if you wanted more information, you could Google it and find it. So the Jimmy Awards. Do you know what the Jimmy Awards are?
Yeah.
You do? You want to tell folks what they are?
You go ahead.
The Jimmy Awards are a national, kind of like the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards, but they're the national version. They're the big, big one. They're the Tonys of the High School Musical Theater Awards, basically. They're named after Mr. Niederlander, who was called Jimmy for short. And I think this was the 10th year or 12th year. It took place on Monday. Laura Benanti was the host that evening. Kids get to perform. They go in for like over a week. You have all these intensive workshops with different Broadway performers, directors, choreographers, and they all come in and work with you, and you get to perform as a group and meet all these other teens from other schools and do group numbers. This year, I think the theme was they did a retrospective tribute to Disney theatrical productions. And there's a lot of shows. I can only imagine where they went. So, and then in the group performances, they'll perform different things. There'll be 8 finalists, and then each get a solo number in the second act. And then they get to deliberate in front of the judge. So what do you guys think about that? Like,
what a cool opportunity.
Right?
Yeah.
There's only one person in this room who is young enough to ever become eligible for something like this. Bless you for that. So what do you think about that? What's your perspective?
I think it's cool. It's just a chance for them to become like, I don't know how to...
Mentored?
Yeah, like mentored to make them really good. So, you know, so maybe someday they'll go to the Tonys.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And it was a pretty special experience. They all get scholarships. There's different levels. The best performance of an actor and the best performance by an actress each get $10,000 scholarships. Wow. And they go down. There's finalists that have $3,000. They get the educator. There's an inspiring educator award. That's pretty awesome sauce. I could think of people who should win that.
That's a big deal too, is like to kind of show where it's coming from. It's like, yeah, the folks that inspire people to get to that far.
Teachers are cool. Teachers rock. Rising Star, Best Performance of Ensemble. We only had one Texan that won. And they actually tied for a $2,000 scholarship, and it's for the Spirit of the Jimmy Award, which I think is kind of a cool one. And that was Garrett Morris in Houston, Texas. The two best performances were Andrew Barth Feldman from New York and Renee Rapp from Charlotte, North Carolina. There are a lot of winners on here. Tennessee, Ohio, Illinois, Florida, California, Pennsylvania, Tennessee. I may have said Tennessee. But yeah, so the ceremony was streamed. They did a partnership with Dear Evan Hansen and some other folks, and they streamed the whole thing, and you can see some of it online. You should go check it out and see if it's something like, what? Huh? What? I think it's pretty cool. And it happened on Monday night, which was also the anniversary of one Michael Jackson's passing. I know. It's my birthday. I'm mad at him for that still, just FYI. But I speak of Michael Jackson because I'm sorry we lost Joe Jackson today. May he rest in peace. But Michael Jackson, they're making a Broadway musical.
Oh, really?
Yes, they are. How do you feel about that? You hadn't heard. You were like, oh, really? So how do you feel?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would have to kind of take a closer look at whether or not it was biographical or whether it was a jukebox musical, kind of what the motivation was and who the people were behind it.
Well, it's a developmental lab that's happening in the fall. It's going to take place September 24th through the 21st. People are getting this because of the equity notices, because it's really short. So that's where they're pulling information from now. But it's supposed to be, and I'm putting air quotes right now, inspired by the life and catalog of the music icon. So the book is going to be written by Pulitzer winner Lynn Nottage. So they already have a book writer attached to it. Tony winner Christopher Weldon is actually going to direct and choreograph the show. So they've put a few people. They're going to incorporate Jackson's myriad hits. I don't even know where you start to go with that catalog. Yeah. I really just, whoa.
I see a lot of montages.
Well, it's going to include a casting notice included breakdowns for Michael in his 20s and 30s, as well as younger Jackson 5 era Michael. So, I mean, that, again, just opened up the whole catalog even wider. But the Michael Jackson Estate and Columbia Live, they announced the project. So they're looking at a 2020 opening on Broadway. There's no information about out-of-town tryouts, no information more about what shows. So what song would you want to hear in the Michael Jackson musical? I'm going to ask everyone here, what song would you want to hear?
Well, I mean, I've got it. I Want You Back by Jackson 5 is like one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a good one. What about
Well, I think Thriller would be a great production number.
Yeah, I definitely think that one for sure.
And I don't know a lot about Michael Jackson, but yeah, I agree. Thriller, I like listening to that.
I think Thriller's the one everybody knows. It's hard not to.
I can almost see the story leading up to that. Like, you know, the whole thing is about him it's like in the Jackson 5 and kind of pinnacle lead the crowds like with Thriller and kind of end the story there. They could do it that way.
Instead of, well, do you think they'll continue his whole life as tragic as it is?
They could, but I can see wanting to leave somebody on a
high note. On a high note. I could see that. I could see that.
Good memory.
You have a song you want to hear?
Well, I think especially in today's political climate, doing a song such as Black or White could have some really strong implications and add a lot of meaning to the show as a whole.
That's another good one.
Yeah, that's a good point right there.
That I never used to like the song when it came out, and now in my age I like it, but I love Man in the Mirror. And I did not like it when it came. I was like, this is not the Michael I grew, because I remember asking to stay up late to watch Michael win everything on the Grammys, and Mom let me. Go, Mom! So
that would be a great act one closer, like a very climactic moment.
Yeah, that was really exciting. And that one year he won everything with the Thriller album, and I think he had on the white suit that he had on the album cover with his disco ball sideways. That was kind of everything.
I hope they do something to pay homage to The Wiz, just maybe a little musical quote somewhere along the way.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
You know what? You have to. Well, Ms. Ross... Diana is such a big part of his life that she's got to be in there. The Wiz has to be in there. Well, we're just going to write this musical for them, folks, here on Offstage and on the air. Call us. We have all the info and deets and what should be included. Speaking quickly, this wasn't on here, but the Share musical is, we've talked about it a lot, and it's in Chicago right now. Lisa's going tonight. Yes, Lisa Shep. So next week we'll get the scoop on Share the musical. Nick's husband, Michael, I believe, has sat in it, and he went to a workshop of it. So I've heard good things, But I read the most hilarious article. Cher went and saw it the other day. And I guess someone, she was in another press event doing something. And someone said, so what did you think? And she's like, well, there was a lot of great parts. And there's a lot of stuff they have to work on. And I was like, I love Cher. Not sugarcoating anything. And I'm sure she went right backstage to let them all know that too. So exciting. So the band's visit, which we talk about all the time, which we've been talking about for months. Y'all know the band's visit. Just swept the Tony Awards. Tony Shalhoub was in it for a while. Then he left because he had to go film The Marvelous Miss Maisel. And then he came back for a bit. And now they brought in, I'm so excited, they brought in Sasson Gebe from the actual movie, who played this role, and he is now starring in it on Broadway. And I was like, oh my God, they took the man who originated the role. People were like, I don't know him. But wait, you do, because he was in some Rambos, folks. He was also in, what was the other one? And I'm going to have to look at Delta Force One, The Last Patrol. I mean, you know him as the crazy guy in all the movies at times. So you're like, oh, but I do. But what a moment. I think that's so cool that he gets to come back in and reprise the same role, but in a totally different time, like years later, when it's so, whoa, that's timely. And it's such a beautiful story, and to do it musically.
It's a great opportunity for an actor who, like we said, is like probably just known from a couple of character parts. It's like in mainstream action films. It's like it helps legitimize them a little bit more and put them in a new light for audiences.
Well, all of his interviews and all of his pictures, he looks so happy. So I really want to see the band's visit. I was up home for the Jersey Shore, and I didn't really get to make it into the city or do stuff I wanted to do. But I was home for a wedding, and I had a great time with my family, so... But speaking of the Jersey Shore, my cousin's going to kill me because I told her to go take my niece. My niece loves Anastasia. Loves it. Guess what? They're doing Broadway on the beach this summer at the Jersey Shore. Cool. That's one of the shows that we'll be performing along with School of Rock. Because you know I love the kids, sticking it to the man. I love it. And then the upcoming new musical, Getting the Band Back Together, which is starring one Mary Lou Henner. Oh. And you know I know, right? See, everybody just went, woo! I don't know a lot about it, but the little trailer box keeps traveling me everywhere when I read Broadway news, and she keeps popping up. And I'm like, Mary Lou, you're making me very happy about the band getting back together. Like, it's pretty good marketing because it's gotten me. But they're doing, you're going to get a chance to meet the performers. They're going to do everything on the boardwalk. I kind of laugh. Bronx, did I say Bronx Tale and Beautiful?
No.
Yeah, Bronx Tale, Beautiful, and the play that goes wrong. They're going to come back again later on and do that the second half. So they'll do one on July 1st, then another one on August 6th, then another one on August 13th. I laughed because anywhere in the entire Jersey Shore boardwalk, where do you think they chose to do it?
I don't know.
Anyone have a guess?
I've never been.
The one place that they made famous on that awful TV show, The Jersey Shore, Seaside Heights. I was like, of all the places on the Jersey Shore. But Seaside has a beautiful new boardwalk that's been redone since Sandy. And actually, it is so much fun to play games on the boardwalk and walk around and eat cotton candy and, yeah, ride rides. So yeah. They get to do that and go to Broadway at the beach. That's so cool.
No, that sounds like a perfect venue then. It's like you get a chance to do multiple things and be able to go see a show and be able to just hang out.
Well, hopefully I'll be up there. I'm going to go back up in August, so hopefully I'll get to go with Morgan to one of these. But Cousin Molly should be taking her to some. She just doesn't know that I'm going to tell her that yet. She'll get that text later. So there's a lot of... Have any of you guys watched TV or any of the live musicals or anytime they broadcast on PBS or on Broadway HD, any of the streaming services? Do you ever watch any Broadway plays or musicals when they're out, or West End or tours?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I subscribe to Broadway HD.
You
so
do?
I watch a lot of stuff on there. I don't have, like, I've not seen any of the ones on ABC or CBS or any of that, but...
Yeah, the live produced ones. Well, they just announced it's become so popular, and it's also become so popular to do these screenings one-off in certain theaters across the U.S., that they're actually now put out full schedules of everything out each month. And look at the, everybody just looked at me. It's four pages. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So there's now a whole full schedule. It'll tell you exactly where it's being broadcast, what actual version it was. Like the very first thing on here is Bandstand, and that was the Bandstand that recently played last year with Laura Osnos and Corey Cott, and it's broadcasting on the 28th. They showed you the date and where it's going to be held. There's also, like, they have Macbeth all the way from England. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 English pieces on here. They're doing an American in Paris, but they're doing the English from London. King Lear will be from London. They're doing the Frankenstein with Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller that everybody wanted to see. They're doing the Madness of King George from Nottingham. Newsies from L.A., Romeo and Juliet from the Royal Shakespeare Theatre at Stratford-upon-the-Avon. They're also doing Julie from London, The Merry Wives of Windsor from Stratford-upon-the-Avon, Anthony and Cleopatra, and I'm Not Running. So there's a lot to check out. I think a few of these might be on the streaming. Some of them are actually going to be in the theaters. So Playbill has a nice list, and we're going to put that up there. There was buzz today that the David Mamet play, Glengarry Glen Ross, is going to get an all-female production.
Oh, cool. Oh,
that's interesting.
I find it interesting because, first of all, David Mamet has all these rules, you know, no talkbacks, no this, no that, no this. So I'm like, is he letting this happen? Is this really happening? It's a total rumor. The insider is who gave us the quote. The insider, as I put in air quotes. But this is what the insider says. It's time for it. The play is an American classic, and having a female cast interpret Mamet's biting words here is going to give the play an entirely new meaning. So it's very, I don't know. It won the Pulitzer Prize in 1984. The movie was done in 92 with Pacino and Baldwin and Alan Arkin. Good old Jonathan Pryce. Love me some Jonathan Pryce.
Everybody knows the film.
Yeah, it's about the seedy underbelly of Chicago real estate agents, and it's, I don't know. I find it interesting. Listen, when I saw females play the role of Hedwig and Hedwig and the Angry Inch, it made me look at it in a totally different light, and I was fascinated by it. There were some things that don't work, even with the genius of all the gentlemen that have played that role, that work with a woman. And then there's some things that don't work with a woman playing a role that works with all the genius of the men that have played the role. But I really saw it different. So I don't know. I love switching stuff up. How do you guys all feel about that one?
I think it's great to switch things up like that. And it's such a unique challenge to be able to still tell the story, taking some of those originally planned givens away and reframing the story. I think that really makes you think and helps our society to progress in a positive direction overall.
His words are so biting. It'll be interesting to hear them come from females at times in certain ways, because you say things from a different passion at some time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. The intent's still there, but sometimes the delivery is always different.
Well, as it so happened that back in 1989, I was a part of a cast of a gender switch on Macbeth. Okay. And one critic did say he didn't quite understand it, because he didn't, even though it was like the words were coming out of the right characters, it's like, but he couldn't separate the male-female thing.
I think,
like,
you're going to get that, yeah. And you're going to get that here and there. Helen Mirren played Hamlet a few years ago at Austin Shakespeare. It was great.
It may have been a little too early for us, but it was also kind of notable, because we started the show with a song from Mean Girls, and now we're talking about an all-female cast of Glen Ross. And there's really not really a hero in this play. It's all tragedy.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm gonna end I'm gonna go from Idina again, and then go to Idina and Cheetah, and then we're gonna go out listening to a Cheetah song, because Cheetah Rivera is just so awesome. She just won that Lifetime Award this year. But Idina Menzel and Judith Light, who we love, Judith Light, I love me, who's the boss? they're getting stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yay. Mm.
I know. So. I love it when Broadway people, I mean, they've done a lot of other stuff, but recent theater folks that have gotten a star include one, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Mandy Patinkin, Harvey Fierstein, and Cyndi Lauper. So, so exciting. So, it looks like Dolly Parton might be there. Oh no, is Dolly going to get the award next year? It looks like Dolly, our other Dolly. It's a Dolly kind of day, and we didn't even know. That's exciting. Looks like Dolly. Okay, so Judith Light and Idina are getting one, and Dolly looks like she's getting one next year. She is working on a musical of her life. That's exciting. But then Idina and Audra McDonald and Chita Rivera, Andrew Rannells, they're all doing a June Concert for America. They're going to be doing a fundraiser on June 30th at Cooper Union's historic Great Hall. They're going to raise money. It has everything they're going to do with four organizations working to protect human and civil rights of families at the southern border. A lot of them are all based out of Texas. There's more information we'll have on that online. And it's going to be stream lived. Oh, Tina Fey is part of it also. I'm like, I knew there were other people. Jeremy Jordan, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Patrick Wilson, Shania Taub. It's a pretty big, heavy-hitting group. So that will be on June 30th, which is this weekend. So we're going to go out to a little bit of Chita Rivera from one of my favorite musicals. It doesn't get done enough, The Rink, Candor and Ebb.
When I sit and remember the past, though I'd rather not sit and
remember
the past.
We are back. That was so funny. We were all like quiet and talking and serious. Then all of a sudden it was like, da, 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 da. We were all running around like juggling and having a good time here in the studio.
Yeah, we don't mind sharing how the sausage gets made, as Lisa would say.
Yes, it is. We show how the sausage is made on offstage and on the air. So I'm going to introduce our guests again. We're going to welcome back to City Theater. They're here with Ruthless, the musical. Another hilarious. I'm excited that y'all are here about this. Austin Kimball. Hello, you are musical director?
Yes, I am.
Are you director too?
No, I am just the musical director.
And don't also say the pianist just the musical director.
Yes. No, our wonderful director is Jim Lindsay.
Okay, that's right. I'm like, wait a minute, Jim couldn't make it. He was going to try to make it. And then I have Jessica Cohen here.
Hello?
And you play one Tina Denmark?
Yes.
And I believe your mother would be in here, Susan Johnson Taylor, playing one Judy Denmark?
That's me.
And your other mother's here, too. We're going to wave, hi, Mom. And then Michelle. Oh, my gosh. Now I want to say it wrong.
Malia.
I was about to say it's Malia, just like our first daughter. Hello. Miss Thorne.
Yes.
Ms. Thorne.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Unmarried. Ms. Thorne.
I was like, and that's a yes. So, hello.
Hi.
So, Ruthless the Musical. This is a fun musical. Who wants to tell our listeners a little bit about this, should they not know?
So, go ahead, Susan.
I will. Ruthless is based on the play and movie The Bad Seed, which is about a little girl who is so driven to success that she does away with one of her classmates. But then...
That was so politely. That was like an Emily Post Miss Manners version.
Well,
it was very
Judy Denmark, because Judy Denmark is the perfect 50s housewife, a blend of Carol Brady, Carol Burnett, and June Cleaver, all in one very polished package. But for the musical, they've thrown in references to Mame, Gypsy, All About Eve, Mommy Dearest, Chorus Line, lots of classic movies and musicals.
That also, a lot of them have the mommy theme
yes.
in there along
yes.
along with it. Those are some heavy hitters.
In fact, the byline of the show is Ruthless, the stage mother of all musicals.
That
heavy
gypsy
influence there.
When it came out, that made me laugh so hard. I was like, oh my gosh, that's the greatest tagline ever.
Yes.
That's ever. So why don't you tell us all a little bit about your characters? I mean, your mamas, but tell us a little bit about Judy.
Well, Judy Denmark is the perfect 50s housewife. She takes great pride in her only daughter, Tina, and she also takes great pride in running a very fastidious and perfect household and being the perfect housewife. She goes through a rather comedic transformation over the course of the show, which you'll have to see on stage. But she and Tina have a very interesting and humorous relationship. And then there's also Judy's mother is also part of the show. So those two
the mother-daughter and the mother-grandmother relationship are kind of pivotal to the show.
And Miss Tina, how, tell us about Tina here. Are you a troublemaker?
Yes. Well, at first, Tina appears as just like an innocent little 8-year-old who just like, who loves everyone and just, yeah. But as the show goes on, you find out that she's not as nice as she seems at first.
I love that you giggle when you say that. You're like, yeah, she's just not that nice. She's just not that nice. So, Miss Thorne,
yes,
tell us about you.
Miss Thorne is a little bit of a disillusioned third grade teacher. She's a failed actress and has come back to teaching and is the theater teacher. So she is the one responsible for the casting and decision making that sends our young ingenue into a tailspin.
I love it. I love it. Now, I know you guys have some songs here prepared for us.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear that. I'm going to ask you what I think we should do one of them before we talk a bit, and you can set it up here. But for one quickly, I asked you ahead of time, Jessica, to pick a number. And what was that number you gave us?
12.
Okay, let's see what you chose.
This is Jason Williams, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
That's the straight Jason Williams one. We normally get crazy Jason Williams. That's Jason Williams of the tuna fame, and he's just doing his new show in his chicken suit. I'll have to show you pictures. It makes me smile every time. So good choice there, my dear. Good choice. So, so we're going to hear a little ditty, are we?
Yes, we are. We're going to start with Born to Entertain, which is one of our early opening numbers in this show, and it features the little Tina Denmark in her song debut of the show.
All right. Well, we're looking forward. This is Jessica Cohen playing Tina Denmark. Of course, we have Austin Kimball on the pianos, moving those keys, making magic happen.
Girls like to cook and sew. When I cook, it's in a show. I was born to entertain. How you doing? It's a rhetorical question. Some girls prefer to help mom clean. I'd rather learn a dance routine. I was born to entertain. Where you from? Instead of walking, I go flapping. When I tap, I make it happen. Mom says I have Broadway on the brain. Don't get too comfy in that seat. When I strut my stuff, you'll be on your feet. I was born to sing and dance. Not every showbiz Cinderella has got to come from Pocatello. My star will rise like bubbles in champagne. By now you've guessed my one ambition. It's not to be no mathematician. I was born to amuse, from the tip of my nose to the tap of my shoes. To strike up the band, empty my hat and my cane. 'Cause I was born to entertain.
Oh my goodness, that was so much fun. I love you, Jessica. That was awesome. Oh my goodness.
You should
goodness.
See her tap dance and twirl a baton during this number.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of awesome sauce. Was this the first time you, this can't be the first time you tap dance.
In a show it is, but I've done classes and stuff like that.
Oh my goodness. Is this your first show?
No, I've done a lot of shows.
Oh, she's a veteran.
She's an old pro. How dare
you
me.
You might have seen her recently on the stage of Kinder Transport, also directed by Jim Lindsay.
Okay.
A little bit more somber tone production there.
Yeah, so how do you like working on this musical? I mean, this is just Waka Waka. Do you know what a Waka Waka is? Do you ever watch The Muppets? Do you know who Fozzie Bear is?
Yes.
Okay, and it's a waka waka yes. waka. So it's a lot of waka waka going yeah. on and goofing around. How, are you having fun?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's exciting. So
what you have another song that we could hear, partake and have the other ladies join in with
sure.
us?
Sure. Why don't we move on to Miss Thorne?
Okay.
And her rendition of Teaching Third Grade.
Oh, okay, this is very exciting today. They have multiple songs with people, and they're all just a lot of fun.
And what's funny is Michelle is actually a teacher in real life.
Are you really?
I am.
Do you sing the songs in school?
Not this song.
Definitely not this song.
I sing songs.
Oh, I love it.
It's as if starring in the play means too much to Tina.
That's what worries me.
Well, there's no need to worry. Unknit your brow. For though Tina's taking this hard right now, experience tells me, I'm happy to say, she'll get over her disappointment. Someday. She'll learn being a star isn't everything. There are many wonderful careers that one can choose that are equally as exciting and far more rewarding. Just look at me. Teaching third grade, shaping the minds of a new generation, no longer afraid to get on with my life and off medication. Sure, I went to New York to be an overnight sensation. More than a face, I was a winning combination of talent and grace. I wish I had mace. My purse got nabbed, my butt got grabbed behind Penn Station. Now I'm back, Lord, at the blackboard teaching third grade.
Don't you think it's a good idea for someone in show business to have something to fall back on?
Something to fall back on. My guiding rule of thumb. That's how I became what I've become. At night I get cozy, pour wine, light the tapers. I sit there, alone there. I love grading papers. The pay is terrific. My summers are free. So who needs the limelight when you can be me? Yeah, I had something to fall back on. Safe and so secure, with very few surprises in store. I watch too much telly. I never have fun. God, I'm so bored. I hate teaching third grade.
I wonder what's keeping Tina.
I'm sick of Jane and sick of Dickie. Never quiet, always sticky.
Will you look at the time?
Noses runny, noses bleedy. Little run so bloody needy.
Can I get you anything?
How about a drink? Make it a double. I can't take it. God, I need something to fall back on.
Tina.
As far as the lead in the show, my dear, she'll have to get over not starring this year. Into each life rain falls, I'm afraid. Life can be hard, and it starts in third grade.
Okay, that was really exciting. That was fun too. Oh,
thank you.
I love it. I love it. All right, I do have some questions for you guys. We're just going to take one break for a quick second, and then we're going to come back and talk to you all. Austin, Jessica, Susan, and Michelle. We'll be back in a minute with City Theater. Well, hello. We are back. Okay, I've been having fun in here today with our guest, Tracy. How about you?
Oh my goodness, that was so good.
I'm loving the musical performances. We've been talking to the City Theater. They're here with Ruthless the Musical. We've been lucky enough to have on air today Austin Kimball, Jessica Cohen, Susan Johnson-Taylor, and Michelle Malia.
Yes.
Woo! Jazz hands for the name correct. I love that you jazz hand with me. Thank you. Everyone needs a jazz
yes
hand
in
life. So I just have to ask, how many people are in this cast? Because I do know the album, and every song is this fun, and we're still going to be able to hear one more, which is even more exciting. But how many folks are in the cast?
We have six total cast members, five women and one man in drag. And that's traditionally how the show is done.
Yep.
It's a really small, tight-knit group of amazing comedians and actors.
So do you all really laugh as much as you, as the audience does when you're doing this show? I mean, this is...
Well, I mean, not at this juncture. You know, at this point, we've heard it all. But I mean, initially, of course, and we do laugh a lot together. It's a really fun cast and a really fun group of people. Very, very quirky personalities.
So. Although when I'm playing piano for this show, I oftentimes find myself chuckling night after night at the same jokes. They really land them every night. It's quite amazing.
I love it. So if audience were wondering, what is the age range for this, what would you say? PG-13 or would you say PG? Or
I would say PG-13. You know, kids are a tough, you know, demographic there. If they're a little bit more open-minded parents, then you might try to bring them, but be prepared for some naughty subject matter along the way.
Yeah, and on the website, the City Theater website, it says 14 and up. So that's, I guess, you know, kind of where their heads are at. And I think maybe I agree with 13, 14.
As the teacher.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
The real life.
Although I've had some students trickle in just to watch me.
What grade do you teach?
I teach pre-K through 12th grade. I teach at a private school.
Oh, okay. I'm like, the pre-K aren't rolling in,
right? The youngest
right?
that I've had is a 7th grader.
Oh, well, that's, you know, depending on, I was like, depending on what they're, you know, where they are and what they do, because my niece is advanced in some of that stuff.
Right.
But some of her friends, I'd be like, no.
Right.
So
you can tell when Mustel's students are in the house because they love her.
That's exciting. Now, we have one third song here.
Yes, we like to feature Susan singing one of her solos, It Can Never Be That Way Again.
Oh, and this is Act 2, so this is not the perfect Judy that we met in Act 1.
Oh, we've lost a little bit of that glow.
Indeed.
Once life was simple and entre nous, I was an ordinary nothing, just like you. Oh, how I love to cook and clean, my life an open magazine, just like every happy housewife way back when. But it can never be that way again. I lost the apron, I found my voice, and now I live my life on stage. I have no choice. A woman doomed to entertain must use applause to ease the pain when she gets that old familiar housewife yen. But it can never be that way again.
Do you know what it's like to lie in bed night after night, fighting the urge to defrost your freezer or to clean your own home? I can't! I must starve! Now people love me from hell to Maine. So it's goodbye to apple pie, bonjour champagne. To you, this won't make sense. I'll always miss my picket fence. I had a life, not just an ego, way back when. But now I star in Broadway shows. I'm doing it for me, Mama. It can never be that way again.
was very grand to end the three numbers with. Oh, that was very exciting. Well, I just have to tell you, we don't normally get we normally get one number. So to be able to have all of you each have a number today was really, it was a special treat for us in studio. And I know it was a special treat for our listeners too. Oh,
thank you very much.
Thank you all for that.
Man, that is so strong. Y'all guys are so good. This got to be like a fun show. There's a lot of meat here to be able to play around with.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
That's so exciting. So you just opened last weekend, right? And
June 15th.
And we run through July 8th. So two more full weekends, Thursday through Sunday.
And how have the audiences been? Gosh, it already is. I'm like in a time warp with weddings and dates. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, they've been great. But we still have a couple empty seats at least at each show. So go ahead and, if you want more information, visit citytheateraustin.org.
That is awesome. So you guys, thank you so much. We're going to come back here for one second and do some Today in Theater History and give a note. So don't leave, stick around here before the show's over. It's so funny. I was like, I don't know what they're going to perform. So I was trying to pick a song from the show and hoping I didn't get one with you. And I didn't. Yay. I chose a different song. I chose I Hate Musicals.
Oh, excellent.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I thought it just kind of was funny. So we're going to play a little bit of that and we'll be right back with some Today in Theater History.
Honey, if I want to see theater,
well, she didn't like musicals, and this show didn't like that, and we just got the hook for her. So that was I Hate Musicals from Ruthless, the musical, and our guest we just had on was the City Theater Ruthless, the musical, which is currently playing at our neighbors here at the City Theater through July 8th. And for more information, you can go visit citytheateraustin.org. That was exciting. I enjoyed having them on. So I was kind of today in theater history. I was like, and then I was like, oh no, I can't ignore today in theater history because there was two things actually. But one of the really, really, really big things is today is the birthday of Antoinette Perry, the one and only who the Tony Award is named after. And I would not be a good theater person if I did not acknowledge that today in theater history is Antoinette Perry's birthday, that she was born. She helped found the American Theater Wing. She's kind of awesome sauce. 1888.
Wow.
That's a fact I did not know. I imagined it was a Tony, but I didn't know that it was an Antoinette
Perry. Oh, you didn't know it was named after Antoinette Perry. Yes.
No, that it was a lady.
Yes. We were progressive. We're just doing all sorts of things you don't know about, Tracy.
I stand corrected. I stand as Yeah.
The other cool things was 1944, 10 Little Indians with Agatha Christie's play open, and it ran for 426 performances, which is actually pretty long time in 1944. My other favorite thing, and I don't know if the CD will work. We'll see if it will work, because this is why I chose this next song that we're going to listen to for a sec. But Kiss of the Spider Woman. One of my favorite musicals. This was the day that Vanessa Williams took over the role from Juan Cheetah Rivera. And I actually had a recording of Vanessa singing, not the cheetah, although I loved the cheetah. I saw both of them. I loved it. But that, and also a year ago today was when Audra McDonald went to London's West End and reprised the role of Billie Holiday for Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. Mm-hmm. So magical. We're going to see if the CD works and we can get a little bit of Vanessa Williams. If not, you'll just hear my voice come right back in. Would the Broadway gods help us out?
And the moon
was dim. Wow. Have you ever heard her sing?
I don't think I've ever heard Vanessa Williams sing. I know she has
she did.
Albums.
She's kind of everything.
Yeah, she had some radio hits, and so I remember that part, and I remember seeing her in movies, but I don't think I ever heard her sing Broadway, so this is kind of a nice refresher for myself.
Yeah, you know what, Tracy? I'll have to lend you that because of the Spider-Woman album, and she and Cheetah are so different. And it's totally Candor and Ebb, and you can hear it in the music, but they're so different in their performances. It's really cool. That Raul Julia, I miss him. He was a loss.
I was going to say Raul Julia. That's how I knew him as a name, was because of this play. It's like back in the mid-90s. It's like everybody was talking about it. It was the thing that you could not escape from. Everybody was talking about this play.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Well, we had another show. I didn't do a theater pick besides Ruthless the Musical. I'm going to I had some other theater ones, but I'm at least going to throw one of these out here. If wishes were fishes, you know I love me the Pollyanna and the theater for the Peanuts, because the Peanuts need to get excited about the theater in the future. This is for ages 4 to 9. It's running through July 1st at the Rollins Studio Theater at the Long Center. For more information, polytheater.org. If wishes were fishes. And I just still have to say it because she's playing for just a few more days, Sexy Future Space Lady. So, I mean, we've been telling you about this for a while, but this is the last time. It's the Hideout. It closes on the 30th. So more information you can get at the Hideout Theater.
A lot of great people in that show.
Yeah. And Tracy, thank you so much for co-hosting with me today. I had some other news. The rest of the news I had was kind of sad, even though it's important. So we'll move to that to the next of the hour next week. So we leave with a happy note, because I just have to say thank you all very much again for your performances today. I really enjoyed having some of the cast of Ruthless the Musical. We had half the cast. That's how cool we are. Yeah. We had half the cast coming on. And your show runs until July 8th, citytheateraustin.org. I had two different songs here. So I'm going to let Tracy pick which song we're going to go out with. So I don't know if you want to pick 5 or 6.
Well, since you mentioned, are you a SpongeBob SquarePants fan? Because there's a musical out there.
He's like, naughty too, that SpongeBob. That's kind of why I love him. This song from SpongeBob is the David Bowie song.
Oh.
Yeah, because you know I love me my Bowie. So that was why. So we're going to go out with SpongeBob SquarePants then. And the song is No Control from SpongeBob SquarePants the Musical. And this was the song by the great, late, amazing man from the sky, David Bowie.
We love you.
We'll see you next week when we're offstage and on the air. Stay tuned next for Austin Monitor News. Bye.
The end is coming.